You're listening to The Dollop on the All Things Comedy Network. Now, this is an American history podcast, and each week I read a story from American history to my friend
Gareth Reynolds, who has no idea what the topic is going to be about, and your name is Dave Anthony.
That's right. I'm head of HR of The Dollop.
Nope.
And I'm also one of the hosts of the show.
All right, let's just...
And as we had an understanding yesterday through text, you need to come see HR.
Let's just leave this bit off air.
You need to see HR.
Nope. I'm not going to keep doing it.
You talk to what? You talk to giraffe? You talk to a pig? How many characters told you to go see HR yesterday in that text?
Far too many for a man of your age to be sending. Yeah.
And called it, quote, his jam pad.
Jam pad?
I'm the fucking hippo guy!
Dave, okay.
My name's Gary.
My name's Gary.
Wait. Is it for fun?
And this is not going to become the Tickling Podcast.
Okay.
This is like anarchy!
On a five-part coefficient.
My room's a place!
Now hit him with the puppy.
You both present sick arguments.
No sleep till hippo!
No sleep till hippo!
Action, partner.
Hi, Gary.
No.
Nicely done, my friend.
No. No.
Yeah, man. That's our theme song.
Hot.
We're brought to you in part by Policy Genius. Look, if someone relies on you for financial support, whether it's a child or an aging parent or even a business partner, you need life insurance. Life insurance, it gives you peace of mind. So if something happens to you, your loved ones, they're going to have a financial cushion to pay for things like rent, mortgage, loans, education, just everything, daily expenses. And usually life insurance gets more expensive as you age. So it's start a policy soon rather than, you know, waiting on it. So look, head over to policygenius.com and answer a few questions about yourself. And in just a few minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need. And then you compare personalized quotes to find your best price. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. And they work for you. So Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. So you can trust them to offer unbiased help and advocate for you at every step until you're covered. They don't add on extra fees. They don't sell your info to third parties. So head to policygenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. We are brought to you in part by Zen Business. Look, a lot of people right now, the great resignation is on. They're like, they're out of their jobs. They're like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want more control over my life. I want a better life. I don't want a boss man telling me what to do. And so a lot of people are starting their own business. Zen Business is very, very helpful. They got an all-in-one platform. It guides you as a new entrepreneur through all the stuff you have to go through to get it going, an LLC or whatever you're going to set up. Got a super easy pricing structure. Starts as low as $49. And then look, they're not going to hit you with a bunch of hidden fees. It's all very straightforward. What they say is what it is. They have a very fast and simple business formation for LLC and other business structures. Worry-free compliance and annual filings, so you can stay in good standing with the state. You can secure an employee ID number so you can open a bank account, hire employees, protect your personal, all that stuff. I wish I had had Zen Business when I started my business. It would have freed up all that time I spent on paperwork and all that stuff, so I could have just focused on the business. So look, Zen Business has helped hundreds of thousands of people get their business off the ground by guiding them every step of the way and making it easier to launch a successful business. Get started today for as low as $49 at zenbusiness.com/dollop. That's zenbusiness.com/dollop.
I just real quick want to play a song that I was given recently. That's okay with everyone.
But, yeah.
Gareth Reynolds, you're good.
So there's good music out there about us, so go find it.
September 8th, 1922.
Okay.
Year of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a religious podcast.
I'd rather it not be.
We are spreading the word of Jesus.
All right, let's just...
Let's just what?
Yeah, I mean, it's not... I'm not... Yeah, it's... Yes, okay, I accept God. Let's go.
Lyndon Hermile LaRouche Jr. was born in Rochester, New Hampshire.
I'm going to need one more take of the name.
Lyndon Hermile LaRouche Jr.
Okay. Because you hear it once, you're like, we got to give my son this name.
It could be Hermile, but I really doubt it.
Yeah.
Had to have been a family name, right?
Yes. You don't
throw that on a kid.
Well, I mean, like, unless you're in the bathtub doing a bunch of opium, you're like, I've got it. Hermile.
Born in Rochester, New Hampshire. His parents, Orthodox Quakers, as well as really, really fervent anti-communists, really against communism.
Okay.
While many Quakers are known for their tolerance, Lyndon was from the other strain of Quakers.
Okay, so he was...
His parents sent him to...
He's not the oatmeal kind.
He's not the happy Quakers that we've come to know and love in Dallas.
Well, that's an interesting policy. How about we break bread? Instead, he's like, kill him.
Let's kill him.
Break bones.
His parents sent him to Quaker summer camps.
Oh, what a nightmare.
But not for enjoyment.
No, nobody's there for enjoyment.
He had orders to organize other campers against Bolshevik sympathizing counselors.
So what kind of camp is this?
It's just a regular camp, but he's there. It's a regular camp, but he's been sent in to find communists, as you do with children.
How old is he?
He's, you know, it's when he's a kid. He's like 10, 8, 11.
10, and he's there to sniff out communists at his camp.
Yeah, well, what would you do?
Again, probably just earn some...
Did your parents not send you out to find communists in summer camps?
I mean, I was there. There was probably another kid doing that. I was just on, like...
Well, that makes me wonder...
I was in the water.
What kind of family you come? Like a communist? Are you from a communist family?
No.
Do you love America?
Yeah.
Lyndon... Lyndon was heavily bullied, but his parents said he did not fight back due to Quaker pacifism. So okay. He's also a pacifist.
Wait, okay. There's a lot of...
You can root out the communists.
But when you find them, if they push you, walk away head held high.
Yeah, you're a pacifist.
Okay.
What was that?
That was my...
Was that in you, that sound?
That was in me.
Boy.
I'm made of mainly springs.
This led to more bullying as it, quote, became a challenge to those who speculated on exactly how much abuse I would tolerate.
Wow.
So that's, you know, right. That's not great.
No.
In 1932, the family moved to the Boston suburb of Lynn.
Okay.
In 1941, Lyndon's father was expelled from the Quakers for publishing rambling, conspiracy-filled accusations against other local Quakers, as well as... support for Hitler.
Well, this is developing nicely, isn't it? This is really coming along. Okay, so, yeah. Well, I'm on side Quaker here.
Yeah, this obviously. Is not classic Quaker behavior.
No, this guy's rogue.
Lyndon and his mother resigned in solidarity from the Quakers.
Right, okay. But they weren't, like, necessarily giving Hitler shout-outs. They were just like, we're with Dad.
Or, you know, maybe they were into Hitler. Who knows?
Sure.
I mean, they're not writing the letters. But nope. I would imagine you're getting brainwashed quite a bit with your dad, your Hitler-loving dad.
Yeah, don't I know it.
Mm. In fall 1941, Lyndon went to college at Northeastern University. He lasted 1 year.
I got in there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
He was, quote, disgusted with the methodological incompetence of most of my courses and the general Philistinism accompanying them.
Okay.
So, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of...
Northeastern talk. You wouldn't get it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get it at all. Lyndon then declared himself a World War II conscientious objector, but he got bored. And he fell in with the Indian... Communist Party. Oh, sorry, I messed that up. He grew bored in 1944. He joined the army, serving as a medic in Burma and India.
Okay.
And while he was in Calcutta, he fell in with the Indian Communist Party.
So he is...
Yeah, go ahead. You seeing something here?
Well, I'm seeing a 180-degree spin.
That's right. So he's rebelling... And if his dad's whole thing is anti-communism, as kids try to find their own way.
What's he rebelling against? Is there a specific moment he's rebelling against? Or it's just in general how dad's kind of casually bringing up Hitler a lot at dinner now and being like, it's pretty good, though. I mean, hey, you know who else is good? Hitler. Good meatloaf, but Hitler also pretty good.
Yeah, so he's, you know, the war's on. He's in Calcutta. There's some cool communists around.
Sure.
So by the time he leaves India in 1946, he was, quote, a hardened Trotskyist.
Wow. Okay, so time to go see Daddy.
So Trotskyism is a Marxist ideology based on the theory of permanent revolution.
Okay. Boy. Endless?
He believes in an economic system sort of beyond borders as like a world system.
Sure.
Rather than a national one.
Right.
And that the working class has hegemony over the revolutionary class, right? So okay. It's a little bit different than some other ways
right.
communists look at it.
Okay.
So it's pretty hardcore.
Right.
Hardcore shit. Lyndon returned to Lynn and in 1949 joined the local branch of a Trotskyist organization, the Socialist Workers' Party.
Okay.
So he comes home. He's just full on in to socialism, communism. He's diving in.
Yeah.
He started using the pseudonym Lynn Marcus.
Lynn Marcus?
Yeah. So he's just changed his name.
Okay. Hermile. Yeah. Come home.
He said it was based on his army nickname, Marco Polo.
His army nickname is Marco Polo?
Apparently.
Was that just during pool time?
I did see some kids the other day playing Marco Polo in the park, and one would just close their eyes, and the other ones would run around.
Yeah, that's how you play Marco Polo.
But what not, in, not in a think? Pool.
Oh, just the outside of a pool?
Yeah,
that's the future we're going to live in.
Whatever. I don't know if that's a great army nickname.
It's probably not a great army nickname.
Because it kind of means like you can't see anybody and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, Lennon got a job at a local General Electric plant to recruit workers to the cause.
Okay.
So in 1954...
So that's just casually kind of bringing it up at, you know, like on a coffee break during a fat shoot.
Yeah.
Just being like, man, oh man, do you think we all deserve a little bit more?
Or everything?
Yeah.
Don't you think the workers should control the factory? What? I'm just eating Ruffles.
Yeah, we're all just eating Ruffles. But it would be pretty fun to have a permanent revolution, wouldn't it?
And I'm not just talking in the factory. I'm talking worldwide.
What if the world was the factory? Mmm, I love this sour cream and cheddar kind.
So that was the Socialist Workers' Party thing. They would try to get you jobs at factories, and then where you would try to...
Right,
you infiltrating the right, workers, right? Right? In 1954, he married Lynn, who was a fellow SWP member.
Wait, sorry. His name is originally Lyndon. He moved to Lynn. He changes his name to Lynn, and he's marrying Lynn?
Well, her name is actually Janice Neuberger, but she changed it to Lynn.
So just everybody slowly becoming Lynn?
There's a lot of Lynns going on.
I mean, this is...
Yeah, I mean, look, there wasn't a lot of creativity happening.
There's none. I mean, they're like, what should we call it? What city do we live in? We'll both be Lynn.
Hey, Lynn?
Yes, Lynn.
Oh, we shouldn't have done this.
No, not you. Sorry. The Lynn next to you.
I was talking about the city.
Huh?
I was talking about the city.
Oh, well, now I've got two Lynns over here, and I'm a Lynn. What did you want, Lynn? Did you guys say something about me? No, not you, Lynn. Sorry. We're
trying to form a...
Got a room full of Lynns here again. This keeps happening. We're just
union.
Trying to go to Lynn.
Hey, we should name the workers' union Lynn.
What does it stand for?
Local Lynn 142 Lynn.
It's catchy.
Yeah. Hi, Lynn.
Did you guys say something about Lynn?
What? Hi, Lynn.
Hi, I'm also Lynn.
Hey, bro.
Roof, roof. He said his name's Lynn.
Who talks dog? Who's that person?
That's me. I'm on LSD.
So he gets married. They move to New York City, where the Socialist Worker Party headquarters were. Lyndon read a lot.
Which Lynn?
Lyndon.
Okay, Lyndon. We'll read do. A lot.
I'm not going to call him Lynn. I'm going to call him Lyndon. Just to
thank you.
Lack, yeah. For cohesion, when people keep changing their names, we'll just stick with the birth name.
Okay.
So he read a lot about cybernetics and computing and then became convinced Trotskyists weren't thinking big enough about transformations of the world.
Okay.
So the people who were looking to transform the world...
The people who were looking for a permanent revolution...
Are not thinking big enough.
Are too tiny of thinkers.
Yes.
What's bigger?
A universal workers' party.
Underwater life.
That's right. We have to also...
Move underwater.
Yeah. He wrote for socialist publications and started a management consulting company.
Okay.
Which advised managers how to control workers and reduce labor cost.
Okay. To control workers and reduce labor. But
what?
Wait.
What's the problem?
This guy is, does he, can he pick a spot and stay in it? So he,
what do you mean? Are you saying
he's gone from now being a communist?
No, he's still doing that at night.
Yes. Okay. So he's still doing it. He's daylighting as someone who's working against his cause.
So hear me out. So he's a Trotskyist. He's trying to organize workers to essentially have a worldwide revolution
where the workers are
in
charge.
Yes,
essentially.
The workers run things, and then but he's got to make money. Right. So he starts a management business that he knows really well is how workers organize. So he now can use that information to make some cash on the side of telling managers how to control workers. And then he can use that money. He can put that money back into his communist party.
Right.
You see how it works.
Yes. He's like a dietitian who's a competitive eater.
That's correct.
Right. Okay.
So Lenin also now began to fancy himself as a physics expert.
I've done that.
Because he's done so much reading, and once you've read enough, you're like
in. That's how physics works, and most things.
Yeah.
Doctors, everything.
Mm-hmm. During one 40-hour writing binge with no food or sleep, he went on a 40-hour...
Dave, this guy's... Okay, now I'm 100% this guy's insane. No. I was pretty sure this man's crazy.
What are you talking about?
He just writes for 40 hours?
He's an idea, man.
That's methy.
He, quote, saw clearly for the first time the nature of the solution to the particle field paradox.
Oh, he's the guy, huh?
Yeah. This is the guy who did it. The particle field paradox and its solution were both invented by Lyndon LaRouche.
Wait...
So finally solved the solution. He got the solution.
He found a
to the particle field paradox, which is something that he
came up with.
He made up.
Yeah. Right. That's easy to do.
Yeah,
I finally answered the age-old question I asked last week.
Around this time, he also began holding psychoanalytic counseling sessions.
Oh, here we go.
One client was a former freedom rider who committed suicide. Lyndon claimed it was due to a savage remark made by Janice.
Who's Janice?
His wife, Lynn.
Oh, Lynn. Lynn, too. Okay.
He
was during a psychoanalyzing session, this guy kills himself.
Not,
and he's like, Janice.
Not during.
But no, but like
it was,
later.
It was one of his
subsequently.
Clients / patients.
Sure,
whatever they
killed
are.
Himself. And he's like, Janice.
And yeah, he said Janice.
Her eyes.
He said, it, quote, killed my last strong feeling for the marriage. And in 1963, they separated.
Oh, Lynn v. Lynn.
It's rough.
Yeah.
In 1964, Lyndon moved in with another Socialist Worker Party member, Carol Schnitzer. They never married, but she still became Carol LaRouche. So I don't really understand how that works, but she changed her name.
This guy has taken the rule book and tossed it.
And now let's remember, he's still going by Lynn Marcus.
Yes, he's Lynn Marcus, and now he's married to Carol LaRouche, who took his, I guess what I'd call his maiden name.
So problems started to arise in the Socialist Worker Party. Factional disputes. In 1966, Lyndon and Carol left the Socialist Workers Party.
Okay.
And in 1967, Lyndon started teaching Marxism classes at the Free School of New York. And he started to recruit followers. He was pulling away from the Stalinist Progressive Labor Party.
Okay. So this is very like, these are factions.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, 100%. The classes also attracted students from Columbia University, and Lyndon became involved with the Columbia chapter of Students for a Democratic Society, which was a countrywide campus organization.
Okay.
And in 1968, the SDS occupied Columbia to protest Vietnam. Big news all across the country. Lyndon's involved in that. He helped organize behind the scenes, and his followers are a major part of the action, right? Okay. But... like the Socialist Worker Party, the Students for a Democratic Society also start splintering into factions.
Right.
It's just the left. This is what the left does.
Yes, I was just
this is how they operate.
Rings a minor bell.
One was loyal to Lyndon. That group became the National Caucus of Labor Committees, the NCLC.
Okay.
So that's his, now this is his organization.
Okay, NCLC, okay.
The NCLC expanded and became a prominent national Marxist organization.
Okay.
It published a major leftist newspaper, New Solidarity. In 1971, it formed a political party, the U.S. Labor Party.
Okay.
They had an intense rivalry with the Communist Party, USA.
Okay.
NCLC members disrupted communist meetings. The Communist Party, in turn, claimed the NCLC was being secretly run by government agents, which you would think. Like, if there's another leftist organization that is coming in and fucking up your meetings and your communists, right. Like, well, they have to be.
Right. There's no way that somebody who believes as closely to I is going to do something to blow this all up.
That's right.
Right.
To throw a little flavor into the mix, Lyndon then became obsessed with European fascism.
Here it is. May as well be a boat horn in the distance. It's coming. Here it is. Here it is.
In 1971, he wrote an article predicting a fascist movement would soon rise in America.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
He said the movement would use Jews as scapegoats, and its capitalist leaders would use, quote, advanced brainwashing techniques to create, quote, left proto-fascist zombies.
Oh, my God, Dave. This is
left proto-fascist zombies. But advanced brainwashing techniques is not...
What?
I mean, that's not really realistic. Let's be honest.
Advanced brainwashing techniques?
Yeah, what is that?
I mean, I would think we live in a time of advanced brainwashing techniques.
He somehow had managed to be an accepted part of the left in America and was being invited to speak on college campuses. So he's, you know, he's out there. He's part of the left movement still.
Right.
And he's talking all over the place and giving out his ideas.
Right.
In 1971, he even debated respected economist Abba Lerner. Lyndon then began purging independent-minded members from the NCLC.
Smart. That's how you grow.
That's right. And doing this, he became surrounded by unquestioning loyal supporters.
Hmm.
That's what you want.
That's, yep. Much like his dad's hero, Hitler.
In January 1973, the NCLC had 600 members and 25 chapters.
Okay.
A couple in Europe. And then Carol left Lyndon and moved to England with another male NCLC member. So she's...
Okay. A new faction.
Yeah, she's finding some hot sex from a younger guy.
I think we can pretty much gather what happened.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah, yeah. No, we get it. She left with a guy.
And she's like, let's do this near the Thames.
Let's do this near the Thames? That's not a quote. Can we just...
That's what she said.
We understand. She found another lover and left.
I gotta fuck you under Parliament.
Okay. All right. You know what I mean? All right. No, I personally know the places and don't... I think we get it. She went to England with a guy. Yep.
I wanna
stop. No, she went to England with a guy. We don't need any more actual specifics of what she stopped.
You take me from behind and I look at the Gherkin.
At the Gherkin?
It's a building in London.
Is it?
Yeah, get some fucking culture.
Getting the Gherkin in front and in back.
Let's keep it clean.
You son of a bitch, you led me there.
So now this Carol and the other the dude left right after the NCLC's rivalry with the Communist Party USA intensified quite
okay.
a bit. Lyndon started ordering the NCLC's most athletic members to undergo street fighter training.
This is quite a turn.
With clubs, pipes, and nunchucks.
Oh my God! Yeah, nunchucks, just like you find behind a dumpster. Just a street fight.
They're all over the place.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It is the 70s, so there is a lot of nunchucks
around. It's probably the peak of nunchucks on the street.
In April, the Communist Party picketed an NCLC conference with signs comparing the NCLC to the Ku Klux Klan.
Okay.
Who are not great.
If memory serves, an abysmal organization.
Yeah. The NCLC held... the NC held a meeting at which Lyndon vowed to, quote, mop the CP up in 2 months.
Mop. Okay.
Yeah. And that began Operation Mop Up.
Oh, dear Lord. Operation Mop Up?
Yeah.
Wow. He's like Mickey from Rocky.
He's, yeah.
If he were like a general.
He's going, it's a war. They're declaring war against the Communist Party
USA. A street fighting, pipe nunchucking war.
That's right. classic left stuff.
Yeah, it's the very, very lefty.
The NCLC battalions would storm leftist bookstores and beat anyone up who tried to stop them, which included the use of nunchucks. So they're
Jesus Christ. Just going, they're going so into like bookstores book with nunchucks.
Because the bookstores are all affiliated with a party, right?
Imagine it's a if you were store. In Barnes & Noble and someone came in with not... nunchucks and just began beating people.
Okay, first of all, it's not Barnes & Noble, because Barnes & Noble isn't like run by some socialist guy. It's like an affiliated bookstore. So there's
still,
like
yeah, we're in there like you're just reading.
You're like, well, check out a little. I'm gonna read a little bit about Stalin right now, and then dudes come through the door with nunchucks,
right?
And you have a little skull fracture.
Well, yeah, because
but that's your own fault for being in the wrong bookstore
and trying to stop them, which is my favorite line in the sand. Don't try to stop them from beating you, or you'll get beaten.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
So in Detroit, a partially paralyzed activist was savagely beaten. 30 NCLC attackers in Philadelphia raided a leftist meeting. A witness said, quote, the stairs were a mass of blood. So they're fucking...
Yeah, they're...
They're rolling.
Yep.
New Solidarity ran overtly racist articles.
Boy, this is really... It's just... It's been a subtle U-turn, but a really crazy one. To get here. I mean, this all started very simply.
We've definitely taken some turns.
Yes.
In Buffalo, an all-white NCLC gang terrorized a Martin Luther King Society meeting, going in and assaulting black members.
What is... Like, how do you get there from where he just was? I mean, now it's just the expansion of believing that your party is exclusive and better than everything else, essentially?
Well, going through this, it's hard to do it in a linear fashion. This was one where there was just constantly shit shifting and moving. But he started to... have some relationships with some KKK people. So there was a reason that they accused him of.
Right.
Right. So there was at that Martin Luther King Society meeting, there was a noticeable lack of police response.
Weird.
Can you imagine a bunch of white people beating a bunch of black people and there not being a police response?
Can you imagine
that in America?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw it somewhere in a vision.
This led to a belief that law enforcement supported Operation Mop-Up.
Weird. So weird.
There is evidence the FBI sent anonymous pamphlets to fan the flames.
Wait, I'm weirder?
And promote the leftist infighting.
Dave, what?
Yeah. Operation Mop-Up involved at least 60 attacks. No one was critically injured, but several people were hospitalized.
Okay.
Then in the middle of this insane war that he started, Lyndon just declared victory and called the war over.
That's how you do it.
Hey, we did it, boys.
That's how you do it.
Mopped up.
A racket. We did everything we came here to do.
We got the oil. Everything's going to be fine now.
It's done from here on out.
The NCLC immediately left the Communist Party alone. So that was it. They just all of a sudden were like, all right, we did our thing.
Okay.
Many believe the real goal was to weed out uncommitted NCLC members and deepen the commitment of remaining members.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, who will fight for me?
Yes, it is.
And people stepped up.
Yes. Fight Club the Cult.
That's right. Fight Club the Cult. So he got even deeper into his psychoanalysis.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
And the group at this point was definitely a cult.
Yeah. I mean, every... step of the way, it's only gotten stronger and stronger as a cult.
He's been the whole thing's been weeding
but
people
this
out.
Now is now you're okay, so you've worked on the physical, now let's get inside of your head.
That's right. He told his members he would, quote, make you organizers by taking your bedrooms away from you. I shall expose you to the cruel fact of your impotence. I will take away from you all you all hope that you can flee the terrors of politics to the safety of the personal life. So he's saying...
I mean, without question, I'd be like, I'm leaving now.
Yeah, this is not great.
Officially bad.
Well, you say that, but you'd also be like, I've gotten 2 hours sleep, and this sounds awesome.
Yeah, and I'd be like, and I beat a guy with a nunchuck, so...
I'm in.
Yeah, all right, take away our beds.
Many of the members lived in an apartment block, and there he held meetings where he encouraged the group to heap vicious verbal attacks on a soul member.
Okay.
When the person broke down and started sobbing hysterically, Lyndon called it a sign of psychic liberation. And he named
this
it...
This is so culty.
He named it ego stripping.
Ugh.
We've heard this in a million...
I know, but it's still horrible when it, like, starts.
Yeah, but it's always the same thing. They all do this thing where they just attack.
By the way, how... over under right now until he starts having sex with people in the cult, I'm going to say...
But you know what? I always... those are the ones I... The cult stories I avoid. That's why we don't do very many cult stories, because... They all usually end up with a guy being like, all right, look, I'm going to fuck your daughter.
You can't have sex. Nobody else can have sex. I have sex with everybody.
Yeah, and then he starts having sex with the women. He's like, by the way, I should also probably start having sex with your daughter.
Right.
Every cult. That's like every cult. Right. Yeah. So I don't
so
do
this is a non-fucking cult.
This is a non-fucking cult, which is rare.
I'll put my shirt back on.
When... Don't. When? Don't.
No, I'm going to. I'm going
to. Take mine off.
Okay, no.
When the person, so the person breaks down and starts sobbing hysterically. It's called ego stripping, and he called it, quote, an act of social love.
Right.
Which is what you do when you verbally destroy another human
being. Sure, yeah.
But during sessions, he called himself Der Ascherlinker, German for the abominable one.
Oh, my God. This is not good.
This is an act of social love from the abominable one.
The abominable one.
Yeah.
I'm Der Ascherlinker, the abominable one.
An NCLC member, ex-NCLC member, described it as, quote, pure psychological terror that transformed us into sniveling informers vying with each other for Lyndon's approval. Now, Lyndon told his followers he was being targeted for assassination by different villains.
Of course. The Joker.
KGB. International drug traffickers. Henry Kissinger.
FBI.
The Ayatollah Khomeini.
Oh, my God.
Muammar Gaddafi.
This list is... Okay, so what's the plan? Well, blow up the world?
Look, I mean, look. There's a lot of sneaky dudes in there.
Yeah. It's a bad list to have. That's a bad list of people who want to kill you.
If all those people want to kill you...
You will be
dead.
Killed.
Particularly Henry Kissinger. If Henry Kissinger wants you dead, you almost die instantly.
When a puddle with blinking eyeballs can kill you, you know it's dangerous.
How is Kissinger still alive?
He's not at this point. He's like clay that needs to get shaped again.
God.
Exactly, Henry.
He warned followers that if they let the CIA kidnap and torture them, quote, it's not the pain that brainwashes people. What kills you is when you eat excrement as This is what he warns his followers. That if they let the CIA kidnap and torture them, quote, it's not the pain that brainwashes people. What kills you is when you eat excrement as a way of inducing your torturer to lay off the pain.
Oh, my God. What? So, in his world, the CIA has you in a room and they're just beating you until you eat shit?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's saying you eat your own shit.
Oh.
As a way of letting them know that you've lost your mind.
And are they the ones putting you up to this, or you just eventually proven it.
I think you're getting tortured. I think you're getting tortured so much.
I went there.
At some point, you're like,
guard.
I'm going to eat my poop now.
Guard. I have an update. I'm officially broken. Look at what I've eaten.
There is a lot of fecal play in prison.
Well, you're just talking about the musical, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He then wrote a new Solidarity editorial titled, Will You Eat Shit for Rockefeller CIA?
This is a can. He's going to kick a little further down the street then, is it? So he's fallen in love with something that he said, and he's like, I really think there's a future here.
Yeah, there's
the
really...
fact that the CIA makes you eat poo.
I'm onto something with the shit-eating stuff. I know I am. Like,
Happens. They're going to make you eat poo again.
I mean, I studied physics, so all right.
I'm actually the guy who solved that problem I created.
The shit-eating problem.
Yeah, I found like they say in science, find a hole and fill it with shit.
So Then Lennon said a German NCLC member was brainwashed by a KGB CIA team, which is pretty common for those two to
those, well, you laugh, but those two work together a ton. Like, people think they were investigating each other. They were forming the CIJ-KGB.
That's right.
Yeah.
And given orders to assassinate him.
Mm-hmm. When they're working in conjunction, you are an enemy.
And, of course, they want to take down some crazy cult leader.
Yeah.
But Lyndon foiled the plot by recognizing the symptoms of brainwashing and deprogramming the assassin using techniques, quote, absolutely unprecedented in psychological science.
Dave, let's go to the video. Oh, we don't have video evidence of this. Oh, that's interesting. So he's just sort of, it's hearsay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's very much the definition of, he's just like, hey, this thing happened.
Well,
and I used
since
my...
you guys were eating lunch, I've got a crazy update. I just got a man from the CIA to eat his poop.
I'm fucking crazy good at this stuff.
All right.
Lyndon wrote internal NCLC documents, wrote in an internal NCLC document in August, quote, rats, see them approaching, see their beady eyes, so many beady eyes all looking at us. Ugh, it seems almost that rats have hands. CIA rats, KGB rats, FBI rats, trade union official rats, left rats generally, rats, 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 be impotent. The rats hate anything which is not impotent. There are so many rats, gigantic, awfully monstrous beetles, malevolent beetles with beady beetle eyes and gigantic sexual organs are coming to rape us.
Oh, man.
Anyway, enjoy your breakfast, guys.
Anyways. All right, enough Alex Jones for everyone. wow. So, yeah,
that's kind of writing.
It's getting a little crazy.
What?
Yeah, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
He's just getting into rat stuff.
Boy, oh boy.
Linda began to write a lot more.
It would be great if someone had to, like, if that was a dictation. Andrea, come in here. I've got a note I want to give you. Rats, 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 they're all coming.
Uh-huh.
Beady little eyes, okay. Rats, the lot of them. Rats, yeah. Rats, rats.
Yeah.
I hate the Beatles.
The band?
Yep, especially John. Okay. He's a rat. He ate his own poo. CIA made him. Rats, 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 rats. Beatles, rats. Poo ate John. Signed Lyndon, Lynn, Hermile, Carol, from Lynn,
the second.
Junior. Would you read that back to me?
You seem like you're really into scat, like it's repetitive.
Well, it's just what, that's the prison they've put us in.
Okay.
We have no choice but to fight.
Okay. So I'm going to just drop this and scream and run, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Ready?
Linda began to write a lot more. One example is a 26,000 word piece called,
that's a lot.
Called, quote, The Sexual Impotence of the Puerto Rican Socialist Party.
Oh, sweet God. This is just like hard to even like... This guy's beginning harder and harder to mock because you're like, all right, this is genuinely horrible.
Yeah, look, the Puerto Rican socialists can't fuck.
Oh boy,
here that's my. Go. I'll change the title, but right now it's the Puerto Rican socialists can't fuck. So that like covered everything from Hegel to the agony of self-consciousness to racist ramblings on Latin American macho culture, and these kind of writings become his thing. Like it's just happening all the time. These just they're sort of just rants about whatever a crazy man is thinking.
Sure, we call it Twitter.
Yes. So Carol, remember Carol is
ex who went to England. Carol LaRouche, that guy.
Not married. Yep.
Right. She was banging the guy at the Gherkin.
So he returns. The guy? Yeah, the guy.
And Carol
returns.
Stays?
The Carol was banging. He comes back to New York.
Alone?
I don't know if it's with or without her. Didn't find that out. Okay. So Lyndon decided that this guy had been brainwashed when he came back, and he deprograms him.
Okay.
And then he said the boyfriend had been tortured by the CIA and MI6 and given a trigger word.
Oh.
And once he heard that trigger word, he would kill Carol.
So he's, did he write the Naked Gun? Because that is the plot.
And he would, I'm not sure when the Manchurian Candidate came out.
Oh, right.
It was way before this. So yeah. This is clearly just taken from the...
Right.
62? Yeah, so he just took it from... Hey, Lyndon, I know, I love your rights, but I remember seeing this in a movie.
What?
It's a Frank Sinatra, the Manchurian Candidate, have you seen?
It
sounds pretty close.
Nope. It's a movie?
Yeah, it's a...
Nope. Not ringing any bells.
But this
is different. This is basically where we're just going to take somebody and manipulate them to the point that, you know, they are able to do the bidding of the system. And that's what we're fighting against. No sort of Mandarin Candidate or whatever you're talking about. So, yeah, there's none of that. And I don't even think that's a movie. Has anyone even heard of that movie? Yeah, exactly. Nobody's heard of it except for those hands that went up. So nobody's heard of it.
Everybody raised it.
Nobody's heard of it.
It was a movie night here. We did that on the movie night here.
All right. Here it is. Cat's out of the bag. I wrote the Manchurian Candidate. There we go.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
But I wrote it based on this situation. And I went back in time and wrote it then.
Wow.
So I just have placed that in you guys this week.
Were there rats and man shit eaters?
I'm not. I know what you guys are after. You want a rat rant. You're not going to milk one out of me.
Come on.
No, I'm
one
not.
One rat rant. Rat.
Their beady little eyes are coming down the street.
That's why I'm here, baby. So he deprograms this guy. And also the boyfriend... one of the other things he had been brainwashed to do was to convince Cubans in the USA to assassinate Lyndon.
Sure. Quite a list of people trying to kill this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard,
long list.
His job's tough.
Yeah.
Lyndon, quote, "Any of you who say this is a hoax, you're cruds. You're subhuman. You're not serious. The human race is at stake. Either we win or there is no humanity."
It is very Alex Jonesy.
Yeah. The boyfriend wrote flyers about his brainwashing, and then those were passed out in cities.
In cities, okay.
The NCLC sent tapes of his deprogramming to the New York Times.
Sure.
So audio tapes of when he was deprogrammed right. by Lyndon.
Finally.
The Times article, which is written on this, quote, "There are sounds of weeping and vomiting."
Oh, my God. That's quite a start.
"And Mr. White complains of being deprived of sleep, food, and cigarettes." At one
point, quite a list for that guy to be complaining, too. I need the basics. Water, food, Marlboro.
At one point, someone says, "Raise the voltage." But LaRouche says this was associated with the bright lights used in the questioning rather than an electric shock.
Well, but to be fair, you know how it is when, like, you want someone to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
You're just like, hit the voltage button. Like, that's how we say it. So it had to be about the light.
Just imagine being so crazy that you torture a guy and then send that as a tape to the New York Times.
And yeah.
Like, look, we found out this information.
Here it is. And he's just puking and whining. And you're like, what do you think, huh? Not easy. People say I have it easy.
I don't.
I do not. You heard what I had to put that man through. I turned those lights on real bright at him.
Any NCLC members who were skeptical, Lyndon accused of being in on the plot.
Well, then it's time to leave, because otherwise he's going to deprogram you.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No.
In January 1974, a member wrote a note saying she was being held prisoner and forced to listen to Beethoven at a high volume.
Okay, but so he is just like, is the Clockwork Orange? He's just lifting plots.
Well, this is also a Scientology thing.
Okay, great.
Help people prisoner and loud music and stuff. She made it, so she wrote this note, and she folds it into a paper airplane and throws it out the window.
Oh, God.
And someone gets it.
Oh, my God. Imagine finding whatever this is about to say. Imagine, what's this? Oh, my God. Where? What the hell?
Police came, and they were greeted by NCLC members who said they were staying with her because she'd been brainwashed to kill Lyndon.
You don't understand. We've got to turn the voltage up.
And they were like, okay, well, that's...
We know what you guys are going to do. Put her in a cell, make her eat her poo. No, thank you very much.
Poo eater. By early 1974, anyone who questioned Lyndon was out of the NCLC.
Okay.
By mid-1974, Lyndon made connections with the Ku Klux Klan and neo-Nazis.
Great. So we finally arrived at our destination.
Where we wanted to be, always. Lyndon and NCLC members met with Klan leaders and neo-Nazis. In 1975, Lyndon said the real enemy was the non-NCLC left, and the NCLC should, quote, cooperate with the right to defeat this common enemy.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you have an enemy. So in 1976, now going by Lyndon LaRouche.
Okay.
So now he's changed his name back from Lynn Marcus.
Right.
He ran as the UCLP's presidential nominee. So that's the party he made way back when that we talked about.
Okay, so he's now finally running for president.
And they've already run a bunch of candidates around the country in, you know, smaller races.
Right.
At a third
but
party,
I thought they hated races. Hey, Aaron, ring the bell.
We're killing it in here. At a third party debate, Lyndon said if Carter won, there would quickly be a global financial collapse followed by a nuclear war. Uh-huh. This is in a debate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he said what happened.
Counterpoint, Jimmy. Well, I don't believe he has any factual information to back that up.
He won 40,000 primary votes. They had 140 USLP candidates in 21 states. And they won more nationwide votes than any left-wing third party.
Wow.
And more votes than all but one right-wing third party.
Wow.
Lyndon went to a conference.
There's an appetite.
There is. People want this kind of great information. They want to hear something new and interesting.
Yeah.
Lyndon went to a conference in Germany in 1977. And see,
I was just about to say, get this guy to Germany. Hurry.
And there he met Helga Zepp. When he returned.
Is this person animated?
Yes. Okay. She is a cartoon character. When he returned, he called Jews a, quote, subhuman oligarchical species and claimed a Jewish conspiracy.
Was this at customs?
Yes.
Sir, we're just asking how long you were there.
And he claimed a Jewish conspiracy had put Hitler into power and brainwashed Nazis into their atrocities.
Wow, that is quite a theory.
It really doesn't hold up.
It would be like, we're going to play a game called How Do You Offend Jewish People About the Holocaust the Most?
It's really the worst.
You guys did it. You came up with Hitler. Wait, what? Uh-huh.
This is the worst
idea ever.
Not sneaky.
This is literally
the worst idea.
No. We've got proof. Got a ton of proof. Mm-mm. Look at this.
You have no proof.
Well, still, look at the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
That's my love line.
Okay, I gotta go.
It stops here, so I'll probably get married again. Good to meet you. Mm.
He also started using British as a code word for Jewish.
Oh, God. That means you're saying bad things.
For example, he claimed Israel, the Rothschilds, and, quote, other British families were planning a new Holocaust.
Yeah, we all know how the Rothschilds, yep, bingo.
They're planning a new Holocaust 100 times worse than Hitler's.
Wow.
In December, he married Helga. She was 55. He was 29. That can't be right.
What?
Oh, he was 55. She was 29.
Okay. By the way, how amazing is it that we live in a world where that first one was like, what? And this new one is like, right. Okay, gotcha. Yes, finally. Yes.
And Lyndon was now openly fascist.
Well, you know, that's the title of the movie.
It's a hell of a trip
openly fascist.
Hell of a trip to Germany.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quote, it's not necessary to wear a swastika to be a fascist. It is not necessary to call oneself a fascist to be a fascist. It is simply necessary to be one.
That's a pretty
strong take.
Dumb quote.
Lyndon now solidified what he called the grand design, which became the driving force behind his expanding network. They're now known as the LaRoucheans.
That name is...
It's not great.
Horrendous.
It's also, there's also a lot of this wherever they go. How do you spell that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Two words? Is the R capitalized?
Yeah, the R's capitalized. And then it's an OU.
And the A's big too, or it's little?
The A's little.
Boy, I'm not finding you guys in here. You guys have a table at this expo?
Yeah. Big L, little A.
Yeah, have a big L.
Big R.
Little A, big R.
O-U-C-H-I-N-S.
Hyphenated?
No.
Oh, I've been hyphenating it.
Yeah.
I think there's two words.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that makes it one word. Okay, here we go.
We should have gone with the Lyndons.
That is catchy.
Or the Lynn, the Lynns.
Easy to find.
The plan was for America, this is the grand design, right? And then the world, to defeat the centuries-old Jewish cabal and become a totalitarian dictatorship ruled by a small elite of golden souls who had mastered Lyndon's philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
So great. Just normal stuff.
Great. So basically just a few people, a few of the Chosens live here.
You want to get rid of the Jewish cabal and replace right. it with a small cabal of lunatics.
Right, right. Like a small.
Yes. People who weren't golden souls would become soldier citizens with no freedom.
Great. Now that also, that's also a fun sell. So you can either be a golden soul or you can be one of these foot soldiers.
Yeah, it's a slave soldier, basically.
Great, so, yeah. Finally.
Schools would teach Lyndon's ideas, which would lead to unprecedented technological leaps.
By the way, the whole time you've been talking, I've just been thinking, this guy has an eye towards the future of technology.
Yeah, he sees, he's got like Silicon Valley in his brain.
Bingo.
LaRouchians began fundraising at airports and crowded businesses. Their goal was to get large loans for research. They told people they
were going to get those at airports.
Yes.
That's where you're going to get your 100K.
You know, they stopped that, but that was a thing for a long time.
I only know that because of watching the movie Airplane.
Of course, that's how most people know.
But right, it must, yeah. So what, just like tons and tons of people asking for...
Yeah, well, this was this is when you could just go to the gate, right? So there was no security, so you could just walk around.
I don't know if I
could
talk about this. I'm going to feel sick about how easy it was to get on a plane.
Yeah, those were the days when...
You were just like, hey, I have a ticket.
Yeah, because now we need a group to go through that doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
except take your water, so you have to buy more.
And your shampoos.
It's weird. It's almost like they've made billions of dollars selling water on the other side of those security...
Yeah, but you know how easy...
Hmm? LaRouchians began fundraising at airports and crowded businesses. Their goal was to get large loans for research. They told people they would get huge returns.
Uh-huh.
They're out there. Mm-hmm. They start taking advantage of senior citizens who are taking the bait. And loans were rarely repaid. The fundraisers would bring in $200 million over the years.
Wow.
LaRouchians ran various businesses. One, a computer programming company, had clients including Citibank, Mobile Oil, and AT&T.
Oh, good. All good companies.
So always happens with these groups, they start, you know, pooling the money from all the cult members. Right. Like I read about one guy and he was like married and then he got into the NCLC and then he left his wife and then he gave all their money to the cult and then they had to give like $20 a month to Lyndon, which was a pretty decent amount at the time. And so they would just all go on unemployment or welfare and just give the money to him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a cool chill system.
Yeah, so he's just basically raking in money, and then now this is investing it.
Eventually, he needs more money.
Yeah,
so now he's getting corporate infusion.
And then you also go after like a guy who owns a company, and if you get him into the cult, you know, it's all that shit.
Right, right.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Lyndon gained influence through the NCLC's worldwide intelligence gathering apparatus.
Okay. What is... I'm picturing a robot with no wires.
So, a member of Reagan's National Security Council said it was, quote, one of the best private intelligence services in the world. So
wait, which was?
So, the NCLC has created an intelligence gathering group, and now Reagan...
is saying that they're the best intelligence gatherers in the world?
One of the best.
Wow.
NCLC higher-ups were now being invited to sit in on NSC meetings.
Oh, my God.
So they made connections with Reagan.
David.
Convinced the Reagan people that they were smart and gathering intelligence that was important. And now they're literally sitting in on NSC meetings.
Oh, boy.
Could you imagine an administration where crazy people sit on NSC meetings?
No.
It's... someday that'll happen, maybe. Mm. NCLC agents impersonated media and exaggerated Lyndon's credentials. They strategically picked sides in international disputes, and dozens of governments then paid them to gather intelligence. So they would, like,
pick the rich
Falkland
side.
Falkland and England. Right. The Falklands, England and Argentina. And then they would go, okay, so England on this one. And then they would give England the information they wanted and get money. And
right.
The NCLC published a periodical Executive Intelligence Review, and it ran a lot of bad intel. This was partly due to Roy Frankenhauser, the Grand Dragon of the Pennsylvania KKK who befriended Lyndon in 1979.
Jesus Christ.
Roy said he was a messenger for a mysterious intelligence operative named, codenamed Mr. Ed.
What?
Mm-hmm. He just made that up. That's it. Mr. Ed.
Well, a source is a source, of course, of course. And no one can talk to a source, of course. That is, of course, unless the source.
Mr. Ed would pass messages to the highest.
Dave, how am I going to do anything but picture a horse doing this?
No, I couldn't either. I mean, it's the most fucked up thing ever.
I've got something from downtown. What is it, Mr. Ed?
Mr. Ed passed messages to the highest levels of the CIA in White House and was always telling Roy about wild plots against Lyndon's life.
Okay.
So, right, so this is a mysterious character who's got all these connections. And he also keeps telling Lyndon, which Lyndon already says, but now he's just getting it reaffirmed.
Right.
Lyndon said Roy could, quote, detect nasties by their wiggle.
Oh, my God.
Which we all, I mean, the best could do that.
Yeah, for sure.
But Mr. Ed did not exist. Hmm. Roy made him up.
Interesting.
Most of the intelligence was made up by Roy, and Roy even had a friend pretend he was Mr. Ed and go to meetings with Lyndon.
Oh, that guy. Dude, what if he knows? Just shut up and sit there. Just nod.
He's fucking crazy.
Just look not into it.
In 1980, Lyndon ran for president again. His platform included building a tunnel under the Bering Strait, his own version of quantum physics, and making his wedding anniversary a week-long national holiday.
It's so Trump. It is.
It really is.
Yeah.
He dissolved the USLP and ran as a Democrat.
Oh, my God, this guy.
Well, he thought there's not a conservative wing of the Democratic Party, so I'll fill that void.
Right, right.
The DNC couldn't legally ban him from entering primaries. So Lyndon ran a national half-hour TV ads describing himself as similar to FDR.
Oh, wow.
And his name recognition shot up. People magazine said he had the, quote, best organized fringe campaign in American history. He won 185,000 votes in 15 states. Now, he's getting matching funding. So when you hit a certain amount, you can get matching funding. Right. So he's getting money. Like, this is all totally doable financially, right? In the early 1980s, Lyndon focused on his scientific organization. So he has a scientific organization called the Fusion Energy Foundation on a space-based beam weapon.
What?
The FEF recruited respected scientists and was praised by a government physicist for its, quote, top-drawer technical expertise. The FEF lobbied and met with Reagan administration top officials about the space-based beam weapons program.
So they met with Ronald Reagan's administration about making a space beam? You're about to say yes.
Yeah.
What? That's fucking crazy.
In February 1983, Lyndon wrote that beams weapons would become, quote, a household word in America during the month of March.
What? Okay.
In March, Ronald Reagan announced the Strategic Defense Initiative, a.k.a. Star Wars, a space-based beam weapons program.
Oh, my God. What? Oh, God damn it.
What happened?
It's just impossible. We need the beam weapon.
The FEF became the de facto Star Wars spokespeople and were often quoted in the media as respected space beam weapons experts.
Well, that is an oxymoronic title.
Like,
people, here are the racist space beam experts.
People want to act like Trump is this unique thing.
Yeah.
We've fucking been here before.
Yeah.
And it's just that everyone acts like it didn't happen. We've been here.
Yeah.
The Lurusians moved to a compound in rural Leesburg, Virginia, an hour outside of D.C. because, quote, the terrorist organizations which have targeted Mr. LaRouche do not have bases of operations in Virginia. A cult member later said Linda was just isolating supporters to make them, quote, totally creatures of the organization. The compound was guarded by men in camouflage with automatic weapons.
Jesus Christ.
LaRouchians focused their support on Reagan's 1984 election. They recruited 2,000 candidates to run in primaries nationwide, but they weren't actually running. Their whole goal was to just smear Democratic candidate Walter Mondale.
Hmm.
So in all these 2,000 races around the country, you just have a Republican, a Democrat, and then
this person is terrible.
Democrat is often just talking shit about their own presidential candidate.
Right.
Most had no connection to Lyndon and were just confused senior citizens or ultra conservatives trying to help Reagan.
Well, that sounds like the Democrats.
Despite running as Democrats, they praised Reagan and Star Wars while savagely attacking Mondale.
Wow.
In 1984, NBC reporter Pat Lynch ran an expose about LaRouchians' ties to the Reagan administration, particularly the National Security Council. In it, the Anti-Defamation League called Lyndon an anti-Semite, and LaRouchians then picketed NBC with signs reading, Lynch, Pat Lynch, and posted flyers in Lynch's parents' neighborhood claiming she was running a call girl ring out of their home.
Oh, my God.
See, this is how, and this is still going on today, this right-wing tactic of, if you say anything about us, our attacks on you will be vicious to the point. It's pure intimidation, and it works.
Yeah.
Lyndon sued NBC and the Anti-Defamation League for defamation.
Oh, my God. That is so amazing. That is amazing. For what? Defamation. Should have seen this coming.
No, we're the Anti-Defamation League.
Nah, well, you defamed us. Nice try, liars.
Lyndon was extensively questioned in the courtroom. A juror, quote, all of us had sores on the inside of our cheeks, either from biting them to keep from laughing or to keep from screaming.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
Lyndon lost the case, and he paid $3 million to NBC for directing supporters to impersonate Lynch and her staff.
Oh, my God. This is crazy.
And yet the Reagan administration refused to speak out against Lyndon LaRouche.
Right.
LaRouchians picked up fundraising for Reagan, asking elderly conservatives to hand over their life savings to, quote, help President Reagan keep America strong. In 1986, LaRouchian candidates won Democratic nominations for lieutenant governor and secretary of state in Illinois.
Oh my God.
Now, there's tons of corruption in Chicago, and everyone gets mad at it. So no one was expecting it. Because they weren't following election returns. So the LaRouchians don't think anything's going to happen. They're not following election returns. So at the time that the election results are coming in, the LaRouchians are holding a mock exorcism outside of the house of a professor.
Hey, you're the lieutenant governor.
Who they said was an evil warlock.
I'm trying to fix this warlock. What's going on? You guys, you're the lieutenant governor now. There's a demon in this. Are you serious? You won. What?
Well, they just won the Democratic primary.
Oh, the primary, okay.
But still, it fucks everything up.
Right, yeah.
In her victory speech, the LaRouchian Secretary of State nominee said, quote, I'm going to revive the spirit of Abraham Lincoln and General Patton. We're going to roll our tanks down State Street.
Oh, well, here we go.
A lot of Dems had cast protest votes against the corrupt Democratic machine, but LaRouchians campaigned vigorously to get white working class voters with their anti-drug and anti-crime platform. An Illinois pollster said, quote, this wasn't a fluke. They seized an opportunity. Still, the LaRouchian lost in the general election, but he caused the Dem to lose too, which was the goal.
Well, then the Democratic Party's goal was for the LaRouchians to lose.
That's right. It's a shit show.
Yeah.
A couple months later, the Secretary of State nominee threw a pound of raw liver at the feet of the Milwaukee Archbishop for supporting the International Monetary Fund.
Wow.
In California, Lyndon created the Prevent AIDS Now Initiative Committee.
I have a feeling it's not going to be the way that we would all hope to prevent.
Prevent AIDS Now Initiative Committee spells out panic.
Okay.
It was to promote his belief that AIDS was a, quote, man-made evil linked to cults out of Babylon. He said AIDS could be spread by air, rats, and mosquitoes. I mean, I was in California this time. I remember this. It was unfucking believable.
Right.
Using the slogan, quote, spread panic, not AIDS, LaRussian gathered 700,000 signatures to get Proposition 64 on the 1986 ballot, which called for the quarantine of AIDS patients.
Wow.
Yeah. Their AIDS propaganda was identical to Nazi syphilis propaganda. Prop 64 got over 2 million votes, 29% of the total.
Wow. That's too much.
Yeah. So it's still a win for Lyndon. His biographer later wrote, quote, LaRouche scored a major ideological breakthrough for neo-Nazism in America. He took a previously taboo idea, enforced isolation for the scapegoat, and elevated it to a topic of legitimate discourse. Imagine that happening.
Yeah. Can't imagine.
But Lyndon's financial empire was unraveling. A grand jury in Boston indicted a LaRouchean organization on credit card fraud. And Lyndon asked Roy Frankhauser to send Mr. Ed to investigate.
Yeah, well, you know who we got to call. Who? Mr. Ed. Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. He is now teaching scuba lessons. He's a scuba horse.
He's a horse?
He's a horse.
What?
Have you ever seen the show Mr. Ed?
Yeah.
It's that guy.
What are you talking about?
He's the guy.
No, I had meetings with this guy.
He's, oh, that guy.
That he said, guy, I am no CIA people.
That guy, yeah, he teaches scuba now. He's a scuba teacher.
Who's the horse?
The horse, you know, he's the horse. He's the horse, of course.
So he sends Roy, he gives Roy, you know, money to investigate with Mr. Ed. But Roy instead went to a Star Trek convention in Scranton.
Hey, how's the investigation going? Really good. Put your phaser. Not now. It's really good. We're actually knee deep in this right now. God, I'll tell you, Mr. Ed is, he's a pit bull when you get him out here. Put Mr. Ed on the phone. That is, he's the guy, that is not going to be possible right now.
Well, he...
he's with Spock.
He called Lyndon from the convention and warned him that the FBI had wiretapped Lyndon's phones.
So he just gave him like a little bit of stuff to go crazy on?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, but they did tap your phones. Well, that's the week.
So Roy, very soon after, was arrested on a variety of charges, and he cooperated with prosecutors and testified.
Did he give up Mr. Ed?
Well, he did talk about Mr. Ed. He testified that LaRouche's organization asked him to assassinate former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger, among other things. Why didn't that happen? Like, why couldn't one good thing come out of this? Like, they kill Kissinger. Like, so Lyndon was called as a defense witness.
You can't kill liquid.
It's true. Lyndon was called as a defense witness for Roy, but he used his Fifth Amendment rights and didn't testify.
Okay.
Roy was found guilty of obstructing justice for Lyndon and was sentenced to 3 years in prison. And then he was given testimony. I mean, he was given immunity to testify against Lyndon.
Right. Okay.
So he also, during that trial, explained that Mr. Ed wasn't real.
Oh, man. Imagine Lyndon's face when he's hearing that. What?
Lyndon ran for president in 1988. LaRouchean candidates won more local Democratic primaries than ever. But a court found Lyndon guilty of 11 counts of mail fraud and conspiring to defraud the IRS on January 20th, 1989.
So he wasn't under audit?
That's right.
Okay.
On January 20th, 1989, Lyndon got a 15-year sentence, and he was sent to a federal prison in Minnesota. Now Helga's in charge.
Okay.
So Helga turns all the LaRouchean resources to her passion project. Lowering the standard international orchestral tuning pitch by an imperceptible amount from 440 hertz to 432 hertz.
Wait. Now, hold on a minute. Now.
Yeah.
Okay. The new goal is to get the one more time.
The international orchestral tuning pitch, the standard, lower so like from 440 hertz.
A tuning fork, essentially, what that'll be set at.
I really don't understand it.
Well, I think it's just saying that. It's basically saying like.
Well, it's an imperceptible amount. Like it's almost
right.
Like
yes.
You can't.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
An esoteric author had claimed 432 hertz was the correct tuning for cosmic potential unlockings, and that at 44 hertz, it caused aggressive and antisocial behavior.
So that's the problem. So we get that's this right.
Everything's cosmic peace on peace. Earth. Peace on Earth.
Right.
So the Russians got dozens of opera's biggest names, including Placido Domingo.
Just so
and
you know,
Luciano
what
Pavarotti.
You're saying is insane. What?
And Luciano Pavarotti.
Pavarotti, does he have any idea what he's showing up to?
To sign a petition asking Italian Parliament to lower the national standard pitch.
He signed it?
Yeah.
What?
They both did.
What? How?
Fuck, I don't know, man. But then the ties to the Laurentians were publicized and the campaign fell apart.
Okay.
Lyndon, meanwhile in jail, claimed his cell was bugged and he ran for president in 1992.
Well, that's quite a back-to-back.
He did not do well in the Democratic primaries, but ran in the general election in states that allowed imprisoned candidates.
Sure.
He got the second fewest votes nationally of any candidate.
Well, imagine being the last. I really should not be in politics. That's all this is saying.
He was released in January 1994, and yet, in the 1996 Democratic primaries, he won enough votes in Louisiana and Virginia to get delegates at the national convention.
My God.
The party instructed states to disregard his votes, so no convention delegates vote for him. In 2000, he runs for president again, and he gets 22% of the vote in the Arkansas Democratic primary. This gave him six delegates at the convention, and the National Party again refused to allow his delegates. And then came 9/11, and Lyndon took a strong stand against the Bush administration, especially Dick Cheney, and with his huge opposition to the Iraq War, this activism created a big presence on college campuses and brought him in many new young recruits.
Oh, no.
So it's a classic cult. A member said leaders, quote, were constantly asking us if we would die for these ideas. Every morning at 8 a.m., the followers at the Virginia compound would sing old slave spirituals, followed by hearing apocalyptic news briefing from Lyndon or another leader. Oh. And then they'd spend the day fundraising and recruiting until 10 p.m. In 1904, Lyndon ran for president.
In 2004,
he ran for president. He told his followers, quote, I have a better chance of being elected than you have of surviving if I'm not.
That's cool to hear.
Best campaign
yeah,
slogan
awesome.
Ever.
Awesome. All right. Yeah. Do it or we're going to die.
Can't you see Trump saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2008 and 2012 elections, Lyndon went after Obama, calling him, quote, the new Hitler, which is weird because he likes Hitler, but, you know.
Right. Yeah.
He called climate change a hoax. They disrupted environmental rallies. They spent 2016 mocking Trump. Quote, he's a festering pustule on Satan's rump. Don't you be a chump for Trump. They would chant that. It
rhymes a bunch.
But after Trump won, Lyndon praised Trump's, quote, intent to end the policies of British imperial free trade and make a full commitment to industry, manufacturing, scientific advancement, and world peace. Roger Stone spoke at a LaRouche convention.
Of course.
And then Lyndon began suffering from dementia. He started posting YouTube videos that were nonsensical, like even more nonsensical than they already could be. One example, quote, we are about to do a job on the study of China with the idea of the development of the back of the moon. The back of the moon is very specific kind of physical principle. That principle, when properly understood, will change the history of mankind. On February 12th, 2019, Lyndon LaRouche died at the age of 96.
When?
February 12th.
Wow.
2019. His followers refused to tell the media and the location and the cause of his death.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
How do you feel?
I don't know. Not good, but I do know. I mean, you know that, like, you're right. I think that everybody treats Trump like an anomaly. Like, how did this happen? And then there are just so many little things that
we've been here.
Yeah, and clearly there has been a history of this sort of.
That's why people act like Reagan.
I know.
Wasn't Reagan was incredibly similar to this.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from the crazy sexual stuff.
His whole thing was make America great again.
He's make America great again. He put a wreath on a Nazi's grave.
Right, yeah.
He did the Star Wars shit. Like, Reagan was out of his fucking mind, and so were the people around him. And it is very similar.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool.
It is cool.
It's a cool time.
I just want to say, let me read this. You go ahead and talk or whatever you do.
I just can't. I just can't. It's like, it's also got a little bit of a hint of Tea Party to it too.
It does.
Like with the sense of extremely organized, playing to, you know, a section and being very, very fucking aggressive. And, you know, that works.
Yeah.
There are so many factions today that it's like, it's hard to even know. I mean, it still is crazy that we're represented by two parties.
Oh, totally.
I mean, how...
Yeah, no, but that's just the way the system is. Like, yeah. You're never going to get away from that.
Yeah.